This is Lassair Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. Today we'll be bringing another message from our series from the Gospel of John. If you're interested in receiving any of these messages on CD, write us for information. We can provide a single message, or we have them in albums, so there are quite a number of them at this point. So if you're interested in receiving information about these messages, just write us or call us. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, we find Jesus informing his disciples that he'll be going away. In the 33rd verse, he says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you." And then he gives that new commandment, which we looked at in some detail in a previous message, saying, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another." Now we come today to look at verses 36 to 38. But I wanted us to begin with these words of Jesus so you'll understand what all the implications are. When he said, "I'm ready to go away." Now, verse 36. "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Peter was the disciple that always talked the most. And of course, this occasion proves to be no exception. Somebody has said of Peter that he would take his foot out of his mouth only to put the other foot in, because he was prone to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. He was impetuous. And yet, with all of the faults we find recorded about Peter, you can't help but love him. As a committed follower of Jesus Christ, as one who certainly loved the Savior, Peter made some very profound statements. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, in the 16th verse, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But in the same chapter, verse 22, it says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him," talking to Jesus, "saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." While Peter did a lot of talking, Jesus spoke a good many words directly to Peter. He rebuked Peter more directly than any others of his followers. But can you believe it that Peter took it upon himself to rebuke Jesus? He says, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." So could you imagine that when Jesus talks about his death, Peter has the audacity to rebuke him, saying, "Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now we can appreciate from one standpoint that it was because Peter loved Jesus so much, he could not tolerate the thought of Jesus going away or of Jesus dying. But certainly he was out of place when he took it upon himself to refute what Jesus said and to rebuke him. In the upper room, you'll recall that when Jesus made ready to wash the disciples' feet, Peter said, "No, never, never, Lord. Not going to wash my feet." But a short time later, he said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my head, my hands." He could make a quick turnabout when he realized he had said the wrong thing. So he was impulsive, very quick to speak, headstrong, but he loved Jesus. And when others were going away, he said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Well, looking at this portion, we first observe Peter's self-confidence. Now, we can understand that he was perplexed when Jesus said, "I'm going away, and you cannot go with me." For 3 years, Peter had been accompanying him in all of his travels, listening to his discourses, witnessing his miracles. In fact, he was one of the three, Peter, James, and John, who were especially close to Jesus. And now Jesus says, "I'm going away and you cannot follow now." Well, certainly he is upset. He doesn't understand. He's perplexed. But you see, part of the problem is he is not recalling what Jesus had already taught about this matter. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." Now, there were times that Jesus alluded to his death with terms that were not quite so specific. But when you read this language, you say, how could Peter possibly misunderstand? Jesus says, "I'm going to be killed, and after 3 days, we'll rise again." And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. So here's an occasion where Peter responds negatively and said, "Lord, I can't accept that." But when he had turned about and looked on the disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Peter, you're looking at it strictly from the human perspective. Yes, you're disturbed. Yes, it's upsetting to think about the Master, the Savior that you followed, your Lord, going to the cross and suffering. But you're not thinking about it from the divine perspective. This is something that was foreordained from before the foundation of the world, that Jesus Christ would come in the fullness of time and go to the cross, lay down his life, and redeem a people. And Peter is objecting. How could my Savior die? He's the King. I've been expecting him to set up his kingdom. The disciples had a hard time getting that sorted out in their mind. Rather than to understand, as Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," they were always anticipating and hoping that he would immediately set up a kingdom, and they were always vying as to who would have the most prominent place. Even having their mother on one occasion come and say, "Jesus, could my sons, one sit on one side and one on the other?" They certainly were missing the mark. Well, this reveals to us that a person can be upset in their own mind, assume that they're justified in being upset, but the reason for it is because they haven't listened well to the instruction that has come from God's Word. They're not relying on the testimony of divine truth. They're reacting emotionally. "I don't like what I'm hearing. That doesn't fit in with my way of thinking." Have there been times when you've sat in the audience listening to a man preach from the Word of God and you reasoned in your own mind, "I really don't like that position. I don't care for that. And you work to try and figure out some way that you could say, well, yes, I believe the Bible, I just don't believe that interpretation. I don't believe the way the preacher's preaching it. But the fact that you rejected the clear testimony of the inspired word caused you to be left in a state of confusion. And sometimes you accepted the idea, I'm standing firm, I'm contending for the truth, but you were opposing it. Now, if that could happen to the Apostle Peter, could that not happen to any one of us? Where we are so intense about defending what we feel and what we believe to be right that we've missed what the Scriptures say. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, the one with absolute authority, speaking the truth, and Peter is objecting to it. So he's perplexed when now Jesus said, the time has arrived and I'm going away. He could not go now. Jesus said, you can go later, but you can't go now where I'm going. Well, start with Jesus was going to die. And Peter obviously wasn't prepared for that. He didn't make it through the night. He was denying the Lord before daybreak. How then could he have gone with him all the way to the cross? And of course, Jesus was going to the cross to do a work in which no man could participate. Nobody could help him. The prophet had said, he shall tread the winepress of the wrath alone. It was by himself that he went to the cross. He laid down his life. He gave himself. He paid the price. He had no help, no assistance. So none of the apostles could go with him in the suffering that he would endure upon the cross itself. And then furthermore, it simply was not God's time for Peter to die. Peter says, I'm ready to die, which in fact he was not. He wasn't spiritually prepared to take that kind of a stand. But it wasn't the Lord's appointed time for him to die. He still had some lessons for Peter to learn. Peter obviously was not nearly so far along as he thought he was. He thought, I've been under the teaching of Jesus for 3 years. I've been with him in his ministry. I've been really the spokesman. I've been a leader. I'm where I need to be. But there was a lot more dross in Peter than he realized. And I dare say that's the case with all of us. You may say, well, the Lord's really taken me through some deep trials. The Lord's really turned up the heat sometimes in the furnace of affliction. I think the dross is pretty well eliminated. But the Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. I've gone to the Lord a few times in my life and said, Lord, it just looks like to me this would be a good time to turn down the fire. I really think I've learned some things. And often at that very time it got hotter. And the Lord knew what I needed. So Peter had some lessons yet to learn, and there was some work for him yet to do. The Lord wasn't ready for him to follow him to the point of death. He wasn't ready for him to go away because there was work yet Peter had to do. Now, have you ever gotten to the place that you have been so discouraged, so frustrated? You've said on a given day, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm alive. Lord, just take me on. Now, this wasn't really that prayer that is appropriate where you're praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because you long to see him and be with him. This was just your old carnal frustration to say, I'm fed up. I've had it. I don't even know why I'm here. Well, the reason you're here is because the Lord intends for you to be here, and there's still something for you to do in his service. There's still work for you to perform. The time would come when Peter would be martyred. But he was going to go through a lot of experiences in the meantime that would prepare him for that occasion when he would give his life as a testimony for Jesus Christ. John chapter 21, verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Jesus is telling him, the time is going to come when they're going to bind you. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. You are going to die. He was going to be martyred for the cause of Christ. But that would be at God's appointed time, not at the time here requested by Peter. And then, what a wonderful thing we see. Not only was Peter troubled by the fact that Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go away and you can't go with me, you can rest assured the others were troubled as well. And so, notice how he begins to speak in the next chapter, John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So while it wasn't the time now that Peter or the others could go where Jesus was going, there would come a time that they would be with him where he was. Well, Peter was not pleased with Jesus' answer. Fact is, he wanted things his way. He loved Jesus, but he was self-willed. You have any trouble with that? I have a little difficulty sometimes just saying, I'm really not that hard to please. I just want things to go my way. I'm just not satisfied with the turn of events at the moment. Even getting a little impatient as to why the Lord is not changing some things in your life. You say, I've prayed about it. I've taken this to the Lord time and time again. The burden is heavy. The trial is great. I don't see why he doesn't end it. So you see that self-will can become a problem. Why can't I go now? I want to go wherever Jesus is going. They didn't fully understand all that was happening, but whatever was going on, he wanted to go. You would think that Peter might have learned from an early experience. At an earlier time, Peter had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. And Jesus comes and says, let down the net. And Peter, oh, Lord, we've been fishing all night. Like, you know, we're qualified. We're good fishermen. And if there were any fish out there, we would have had him by this time. But then he caught himself. It's not a good idea to argue with the Lord. So he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And he did. And there were so many fish in the net broke. Now, having had that experience of wanting to argue with the Lord and then realizing that wasn't the thing to do, you'd think that he would have learned permanently the lesson, you don't argue with the Lord. But I dare say, I'm not going to ask for this because I don't want to put you on the spot. But if we had an honest response here today and say, how many could say this, that you've ever argued with the Lord more than once, be a good many hands go up. When there have been times that you've said, Lord, I just don't understand it. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to serve you. This. It just looks like this would be the best thing if you would do it my way. And the Lord doesn't work on our timetable or take dictation from us as though we know better than he does. Our position is not to be one of questioning, but one of obeying. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O God. And that was a messianic reference. It indeed was the experience of the psalmist, but it was quoted by Jesus. He came to do the Father's will. I delight to do thy will, O God. Is that the spirit you have? If you don't understand all the whys and wherefores, you don't understand the difficulty of the trial, but you're bowing, Lord, thy will be done. I delight to do thy will, whatever it may be. His confidence was in himself and not in the Lord. He declares boldly, I will lay down my life. And at this point, he just doesn't see and realize his own weakness. He's sincere about it. He means it. There's a vivid contrast between Judas betraying Jesus and Peter denying him. Because Judas calculated his action, had no real love for Jesus, did not belong to him, and went away to his own place. This fall that Peter experienced was not premeditated. It wasn't something that was planned. It was something that surprised him because he thought he was better prepared. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I think this is very much in the vein that we see the experience of Job. When Satan came and conversed with God, and God said, have you noticed my servant Job? Satan said, well, of course he's doing well because you built a hedge around him. You blessed him. You've prospered him. Let me attack him. Let me take it away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. And you know the story that Job bowed and worshiped God even in the midst of his adversity. So now Satan looks at Peter. He desires to sift him, and the Lord's going to allow him to do it. He's going to allow him to attack his servant. But he says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, thou shalt strengthen thy brethren. We say, was Jesus' prayer answered? Looks like Peter failed. Well, he did in denying the Lord. But the prayer Jesus prayed was answered, as the prayer prayed by Jesus on every occasion would always be answered, that his faith did not fail. Because even though he sinned and came short, he later was broken and humbled and was restored. Now, after Jesus makes this statement, Satan has desired you, he's going to sift you. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Didn't slow Peter down. I may be attacked by Satan no matter what comes. Lord, I'm ready to go with you. If you're going to prison, I'm ready to go. If you're going to die, I'm ready to die. My, what self-confidence. I've got it all together. I'm ready. I can stand. And he considered himself to be superior to others. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall offend because of thee, yet I never will be offended. Look at it. How bold, how arrogant. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Everybody else may fail. Lord, I'll be the last man standing. I can handle it. Have you ever allowed yourself to drift into such an arrogant attitude? You know, when you consider yourself to be superior, you're on very dangerous ground. If you have the attitude, I see others faltering, I see others failing, I see others going astray, I see others doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, believing the wrong thing. Not me. I got it all together. I'm pleasing God. I'm standing for the truth. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm superior in my knowledge and in my conduct. You see somebody fall into sin, and it's right that you be appalled by a sinful conduct. It's in order that you hate every evil way. But if you have this self-righteous, pharisaical attitude, oh, I can't believe what this person has done. I could never do that. That could never happen to me. I might have my faults, but I'm not nearly as evil as that person. Do you know that the potential for every sin possible is in our fallen, sinful nature? And under the right, or I might say the wrong circumstances, there are things that any of us could be tempted to do that we could never have imagined. Peter is arrogant. Peter is self-righteous. Peter is not depending on the Lord. He's depending on himself. And that is disastrous. As surely as we do that, as surely as we declare that all is well and that I'm strong and I can stand, we're ready for a downfall.
Peter had at times displayed great faith in his Savior, Jesus Christ. But at this time, we see that his confidence was in himself, and consequently, he failed. May we learn the great lessons to be drawn from this experience, to understand that we have to walk humbly before our God, knowing that we're never strong enough to stand in ourselves, but the strength we need is the help that comes from above, and our Lord encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we can find help in the time of need. Now, until we greet you again next time, this is LeSere Bradley, Jr., saying may God richly bless you.